cream and a little bit of celebration afterwards in the fellowship hall. But we want to invite everyone just to come and join with this couple, and let's bless this couple, rejoice with this couple, and give them the wedding they'll never forget. Amen? And so that's going to be really great, really proud of these two. And as we get to know them a little bit better, you'll find they're just to be an awesome couple there as well. So Ashley and James, we congratulate you. We rejoice with you. And we look forward to next Sunday. So you never know what might happen in a church service at Bethel. You really do. Don't. And so we want to keep you on your toes, that we'll keep changing things and just seeing what God does. But you know, that's about his presence. That's what God's presence does. God's presence changes people's lives. It touches people. It changes people. It transforms people. Makes them make new decisions in their lives. And so we want to guard that. And so I want to share with you tonight, or today, with from a text of Scripture found in the Old Testament. It's Exodus 23. And it talks there about the presence of God, as God was promising his presence with the people of Israel. And I really feel that God is speaking to us that we as well need to guard the presence of God in this place, in this very place right here at our church. Tonight, I'm going to be here for prayer. If anyone wants to join me, I'll be here at the 6:30 to 7:30 time. And if that works for you, great. If you want to come later or earlier, those times are all also good too. Just that you'll need your own key, I guess, to get in at those times. So Exodus chapter 23, starting at 20, says, "See, I'm sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey and lead you safely to the place I've prepared for you. Pay close attention to him and obey his instructions. Do not rebel against him, for he is my representative, and he will not forgive your rebellion. But if you are careful to obey him, following all my instructions, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, so that you may live there. And I will destroy them completely. You must not worship the gods of these nations, or serve them in any way, or imitate their evil practices. Instead, you must utterly destroy them and smash their sacred pillars. You must serve the Lord your God. And if you do, I will bless you with food and water. I will protect you from illness. There will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land. And I will give you long, full lives. I will send my terror ahead of you and create panic among all the peoples whose lands you invade. I will make all your enemies turn and run. I will send terror ahead of you to drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and Hittites, and will not drive them out in a single day, but because the land would become desolate and the wild animals would multiply and threaten you. I will drive them out a little at a time until your population is increased enough to take possession of the land. And I will fix your boundaries from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea and from the eastern wilderness to the Euphrates River. I will hand over to you the people now living in the land, and you will drive them out ahead of you. Make no treaties with them or their gods. They must not live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me. If you serve their gods, you'll be caught in the trap of idolatry." Father God, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you, God, so much for your presence, Lord. I love your presence, Lord. And I know that many people in this church, they love your presence, Lord. And I know that, Lord, that you're drawing more and more people into your presence and to encounter your presence. And God, we would say we do want that, Lord. We do want more of your presence. So, Lord, I just pray you would just speak to us, Lord, and what you want to say to us, Lord, about your presence here this morning. And I just pray that you would just guide and bless your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I'm going to break away from the speaking on some of the basics of our faith. I might go back there. I'll just see how the Lord would direct me. But I really believe I need to speak a word to you that is very much on the heart of God right now, and especially for this church. And it's about guarding the presence of God. And we have been blessed in so many ways with so many people that have been sensing and feeling the presence of God in this place. Maybe you're here and you might say, well, that hasn't happened for me. It will happen, friend. It will happen. It will come. But there's been so many testimonies from people in the church, people who have visited our church, even unbelievers, people that don't even believe in God, that have said to us that they do sense God is in this place. And they have told us that many times. We've heard many stories, again, of I don't know how many times we need to hear the same story, but it keeps happening over and over again, of even people that will drive by and they sense a compellingness causing them to come to this place. And so God's presence is really reaching out. And whether you feel it or not yet, many people are. And God is drawing people unto Himself. Now, many times that presence is like a strong feeling or a strong impression. Sometimes it's a sense of peace that comes over a person. Sometimes it's a voice that they hear. Sometimes it's a dream or a vision. Sometimes for others, they begin to see spiritual activity. And sometimes they see colors flashing. Some people see angels. There's even a few that have said they saw Jesus Himself. And the response to all of that has led people to experience peace, has led people to experience salvation, answered prayer, healing, deliverance, hope, joy, and of course a lot of tears as well. But it's bringing people to a fresh realization that God is real. And I really believe that we are in these last days, and I believe that God is reaching out into our world and drawing people like never before, because I believe that time is short. And so God is calling out into the highways and into the byways and is compelling people to come and respond to Him. So whether or not we personally have experienced that presence or not, there's something obviously very real that is happening right here in our own midst. And I'm here to tell you that it is God's presence. God's presence is in this place. And God is wanting to do greater things in our lives. He wants to increase that presence, that we might experience even greater testimonies than what you're even hearing today. And I thank those that were willing to share that testimony this morning, but there's other testimonies that are out there, and I really encourage you to please email me your testimonies or come talk to me about your testimony, that if you've been experiencing God or you've been encountering God, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing, and we want to hear that. I think of Isaac up front there, and as he's holding his little one, and Isaac can come into my office, and he's got a scribbler, and he's on his, is it your second or third now? He's on quite a few there that he's been going through as the Lord just been speaking to him and blessing and his family as they've been praying here in our church, and God has really been speaking to a lot of people, and we want to treasure that. We want to respect what God is doing. We want to respond to that presence. We don't want to be guilty of ignoring that presence. We don't want to be guilty of treating it lightly. Rather, we want to be recognizing that God is truly moving in our midst and to welcome that and say, God, we want to see more. Be excited for those that are, and if you're one of those that maybe you haven't experienced one of those encounters yet, be excited about others and it'll soon happen to you as well. But I really believe that we're in a crossroads like Israel in this story of whether we will experience more of that presence or whether we will lose what we have. I believe that God desires that this would be the center, and that has been prophesied many times, of what God is wanting to do in this whole region. And if we respond and we welcome that, that will take place. But if we ignore it and don't pay attention to that, then we could lose that. And another place could be chosen. So we need to be careful of that. See, there's no middle with God. Either you're for Him or you're against Him. And you're either into a blessing or you're into a judgment. Now, as we look at Israel in this passage of Scripture, we're reading here of the promise of God's presence with the people of Israel. There was a covenant, there was agreement that was being made between God and His people. There was promises that God would go with them, lead them, direct them, bless them with His presence. However, there was also consequences mentioned that if the people chose their own way, or if they followed in the ways of other nations, that there would indeed be consequences and judgment. And as we read the story of Israel, we see that sadly, Israel often chose the wrong path and ended up receiving judgment instead of the blessings that God wanted to pour out in their lives. And I don't know about you, but I want to experience the planned blessings of God for my life and for our church and our community and our region. And so we need to be careful that we are protecting and guarding the presence of God that we are sensing. About 75 years ago, there was a move of God in this area that brought about the birth of many Pentecostal churches in this area. And this is one of those churches where God has touched. And I believe that as God moved in 75 years ago, I believe that kind of got interrupted a bit. They're really going high, and then some things kind of happened and kind of broke that. I believe the enemy got in there. But I believe that once again, God is desiring to move upon this region and upon this place and is wanting to do great things. And we need to be careful that we're ready to flow with that. We're ready to go with that, because I believe that God is once again wanting to touch this whole region. And I believe that will extend from that region to a province and to a nation as well. You may also have noticed that there's been an increase in our enemy's activity as well. And I'll tell you why that is because he knows that God is wanting to do something great in this church and in this region. And so our enemy, the devil, has been attacking, especially leadership, trying to destroy what God has planned. And his attacks have been described very interestingly. As I talk with the pastors that we get together with and we pray together, we usually meet in Bonneville and pray together, I found it very interesting that each one of us, as we shared about things going on in our lives, that we all had the same description of what is happening. And that word was a vicious attack of the enemy. And so the enemy is indeed coming against us all. And our job is we need to make a stand for righteousness, to treasure the presence of God, to respect the presence of God, to pursue the presence of God. We need really to be careful here that we guard it and do everything that we can, because God is already in our midst. He's already doing things, and we want to experience more of the presence, not less of the presence. Now, this passage here, it reminds the people of Israel of this promise of the Lord's presence. And it encourages them to guard that promise of the presence. And it's kind of interesting as you look at some of these details here, it tells us that this is what God is looking for in regards to guarding the presence of God. We all have in our own understanding, in our own minds, to say, well, this is what God wants. This is what God is wanting to do. And right out of this passage of Scripture, I believe God is telling us what He's telling us that we need to do in regards to the presence of God. And so that's where we're going to go here this morning and just talk about five areas where I believe that God is saying to us that we need to guard the presence of God. Now, first of all, in guarding the presence of God, God told Israel, pay attention to what God is doing. Exodus 23:20-21. See, I am sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey and lead you safely to the place that I prepared for you. Pay close attention to him. Now, that angel was the angel of the Lord, God himself. And we see that God has led his people of Israel with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And you'll remember a few weeks back that I shared with you one of those words that actually came from Daniel Baker, that he called up and said, listen, there is a fire in your sanctuary. There is a cloud in your sanctuary, and it is the presence of God. And I believe that. And just as the people of Israel experience the presence of God, so we are experiencing the presence of God in a very tangible way. However, any time that we sense the presence of God, or people are experiencing the presence of God, or wherever we're sensing that people are experiencing angelic activity, the Scripture says, for God's people, pay attention. Look and see what God is doing. Don't be looking necessarily what you're wanting to do. Look to see what God is doing. We're to follow what he is doing. And friends, we've had so many people here that have testified of angelic activity in our midst, from children to seniors, right on through. And just amazing stories that people have shared with me, and some have testified here as well about that. And the other part that also I find really cool is that when unbelievers come to you and they start telling you about what they're seeing, about what they're experiencing, and you really know that they know nothing about God, and all of a sudden they're coming and telling you very intimate things about God because they're experiencing Him in these encounters. And so God is saying to us, pay attention to what I'm doing. See, God is drawing people. He's reaching out to people. And there's lots of testimonies here for that people can give you how doors have opened for you to witness or share your faith, or others that have simply come with nobody's involvement and they've been coming and experiencing Christ. And we need to be, again, paying attention to what God is doing. And I know that sometimes we want to kind of pay attention to what we feel we should do. Sometimes we want to pay attention to what the world is doing. Sometimes we want to look at the latest things of church growth and all those kinds of things. And God is saying, I want you to pay attention to what I'm doing. And friends, we are hearing what God is doing enough that I think that we should be able to sense today what God is wanting us to do. You know, and I have been really seeking the Lord and asking God about a lot of direction. God, what should I do? Should I do this with a church? Should I do that with a church? And I'm going through all these things, and sometimes I'm getting frustrated about those things. And every time I keep praying, I get the exact same answer. And the Lord simply just tells me, go in there. Go in there. And He's telling me, go in this sanctuary. That's where I'm to go. That's where I'm to pray. I know what He's telling me. He's saying, go into the presence. Go into where my presence is really being felt right now and people are being touched. You just need to go there. You don't need to worry about all the details right now. You need to just get into my presence. So friends, we need to pay attention to what God is doing. And it's really not that hard. If we will listen and observe and see what God is doing, then follow into what we see God is doing. In regards to the presence of God in this church and region, I believe that God is telling us to pay attention to that presence and to come even in His presence and worship Him and experience Him more, even right here in this sanctuary. I know we all can pray at home. I know some of us, we live very far away, and it's very difficult to keep coming in, but I encourage you to pray, to seek His face. That's what God's wanting us to do. He wants us to come closer. And friends, like I come here on Sunday. I've been trying to do that on Sunday nights to come. But friend, if you want to come at another time, maybe you want to come early morning or you want to come in the mid-afternoon, I encourage you just to come. Just spend time in here with the Lord. Because the Lord is calling us. He's calling us and He's telling us, pay attention to what I'm doing. Pay attention to what He's doing. Secondly, in regards to guarding the presence of God, we need to choose obedience. It tells us here in verse 20, it says, I am sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey and lead you safely to the place I've prepared for you. Pay close attention to him and obey his instructions. Do not rebel against him, for he's my representative, and he will not forgive your rebellion. But if you are careful to obey him, following in all my instructions, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. See, obedience is something that's very important to God. Paying attention to what God is doing and then acting on what God is doing is very important. See, we need to be concerned about what God wants, not necessarily what we want. We need to be focused on Him and not upon ourselves. We need to get to that place where we can surrender our will to God's will. And when you get to that place where we follow God, is that it becomes a number one desire in our lives. The Lord will lead us. The Lord will send even appointed leaders like Moses in this passage of Scripture that will take us into those promised lands. And our job is to obey the instructions God gives us. And again, God's not trying to hide His instructions. That's why He's saying, just pay attention. Just pay attention to what I'm doing. Just look and see what I'm doing, and then the instructions will be in there if you will follow them. And the majority of times I find God is quite clear. It's just sometimes that We don't want to really listen. We just don't want to respond maybe the way that God is really saying to us. But we need to really get to that place and say, Lord, not my will. Your will be done. And that we would submit ourselves to the will of God. That's one of the prayers that I pray a lot. That as I pray and I come against things maybe that are frustrating for me or, you know, or just things that have been going on that are tough, and I kind of have a solution sometimes that I can pray and thinking that this would be the good thing. But I quickly realize, but Lord, no, not my will. Your will be done. And I often pray this prayer out loud. I say, Lord, I submit myself to your will. Whether I like it or not is one of the prayers that I pray very much. And I like to pray it out loud and to declare that out loud. Lord, I will choose to submit myself to your will over my will. Now, please note that as we desire to obey the Lord, there are some things that begin to happen for us that maybe would surprise you. When we choose to obey and come in agreement with what God is saying and doing, it's interesting that God says, is telling us here, he will start fighting our battles. Most of the time, we're all sidetracked trying to fight our own battles. I know I'm guilty of that myself. But God is telling us something different here. And he says, as you choose to obey me, I will take care of your battles. And as that happens, listen to what the Lord says. I will be an enemy to your enemies. I will oppose those who oppose you. Now, that's pretty strong language. And it's a dreadful thing to fall in the hands of the wrath of God, where the Lord is against you. Our job is guard the presence. Our job is to obey what God is saying to us. We're to follow what God is saying, and then we allow God to deal with our enemies and of those who oppose us. And I think that's some pretty good advice right there for ourselves. Thirdly, in guarding the presence of God, we need to watch out for rebellion. Exodus 23:21 says, pay close attention to him, obey his instructions, do not rebel against him, for he's my representative, and he will not forgive your rebellion. And this is one of the favorite tricks of the enemy, to get people to rebel against God and against leadership. And to rebel, the dictionary says, is to have open resistance to authority. It's to be in defiance of any authority or control. And it's a very dangerous place to be, because it's not just about simple rebellion. The Bible says it can lead us to the place where God chooses not to forgive. And that's a scary place to be. So obviously we need to keep in check, deal with any ideas in our heads or any rebellious spirit that may try to rise up within us. And friends, let me tell you something. Rebellion is a spirit. It is an ungodly spirit that looks to stir up trouble, and God hates it. It's a very dangerous spirit, and it's a killer of the presence of God. And so we need to watch out for rebellion. Remember, it was rebellion and disobedience, those two things that God says we need to be looking for, that why King Saul was rejected by the Lord. And we certainly don't want that to happen to ourselves. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. And Samuel is speaking to the king. As he addresses this among this issue, he said, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. Submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you've rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Friends, do not play with rebellion, because rebellion is rejection of God, which leads to the loss of his presence. So we're ready to watch in that area as well. Fourthly, in guarding the presence, we need to watch what we worship and who we worship. Verse 24 and then 32 says, you must not worship the gods of these nations or serve them in any way or imitate their evil practices. Instead, you must utterly destroy them and smash their sacred pillars. Make no treaties with them or their gods, They must not live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me. If you serve their gods, you'll be caught in the trap of idolatry. It's very clear that we're not to worship any other god but God alone. The Bible says we're not to worship the gods of this world. And friends, I want to tell you, that includes more than just physical idols, but it also concerns things of the world that we treasure and that we idolize. Concerning literal idols, I want to caution you that we see a lot of people today, and you go in a lot of craft stores or gift stores, and there's a lot of idols in our gift stores right now. And people are buying those things as art and bringing them as decorations. And friends, you don't want to be doing that, because you're bringing spirits into your home when you bring those idols into your home. And if someone gives you a gift, get rid of that gift. Or tell them that, say, I can't receive that. And tell them the reason why. Because it is an idol and it represents a spirit that is not of God. And sometimes we also bring in things that we say, well, it's cultural. So because it's cultural, then it's okay. And no, it's not. An idol is an idol. And the Bible says we're not to have them at all. Get rid of them. Clean our homes, because you're inviting spirits into your home if you do have them. And as we have those in our homes, it's a killer of the presence of God. But idolatry is more than just physical idols. Sometimes, as Christians, we can get so busy chasing the world and what the world offers that it becomes what we worship. And soon, you know, when you realize that's starting to happen, is that when you look at your life and you realize, I have no time for God, then that means you made time for somebody else. That thing is an idol, and we need to get rid of it. The Bible tells us, 1 John 2, 15-16, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and our possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. See, we need to be careful. See, God doesn't tolerate divided attention. And that's the key of what you need to realize with idolatry. God does not approve of divided attention. He is a jealous God. And when he sees our affections go to other things over him, he's telling us we are guilty of idolatry. So we're not just to shun idol worship. We're also to steer away from imitating the behavior of those who do. We are to be imitators of Christ. We're to watch where we're putting our affections, our time, and our devotion, because God's presence will not stay where it's not wanted. Pretty simple. So watching what we worship is very important in regards to guarding the presence of God. And then lastly, in guarding the presence of God, we need to serve the Lord only. Verse 25, 26. You must serve only the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless you with food and water. I will protect you from illness. There will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land, and I will give you long, full lives. Again, God is telling us, I do not want divided attention. You can't serve God and serve the gods of this world at the same time. You cannot serve two masters. The Bible says you need to make a choice of who you're going to serve. God needs to be that priority in our lives. Matthew 6, 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Then in a few chapters later, Matthew 22, 37, 38, the first commandment, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So there are many reasons why we should serve the Lord. But one of them actually concerns the presence of God. As we serve him, then we are honoring him, and that welcomes the presence of God. We really need that place where we want to say, God, I really want this. I really want to experience more of the presence. And as we do that, as we choose to serve the Lord, choose God, serve him, get the focus back on serving God. Now, I realize that many of you have been tired, discouraged, and weary. And I want to tell you, that's a spirit that the enemy has sent. And it's a spirit that is wanting to take you away from what God is wanting to do. God, the enemy of your soul is wanting to discourage you so much that you would walk away from the very presence of God. And friends, we need to be careful of that because the enemy is really trying to do that. And I realize that many of us need a fresh touch from God. In fact, I welcome fresh touches from God. I love fresh touches from God. But friends, we don't get them if we're complaining and grumbling and constantly saying, God, I'm so tired, I'm so weary. We get refreshed when we seek the Lord and put effort back into serving the Lord. Again, another, that was a word, again, that a person sent to us and said that basically if you that the answer to your weariness is in there, is in your sanctuary. And friends, so whatever you might be going through, the answer is right in here. Not that you have to get prayer by our prayer team or prayer by me. I think if you just start coming and just spending time with whatever need you might have, and you just come and just lay it all out before the Lord and say, Lord, this is what's going on in my life. I need your help. I believe that God's going to start answering you. God's going to start touching you. Friends, the harvest of souls is at the door. Satan does not want us to reap the harvest. And we have to push through the discouragement, the weariness, and keep serving the Lord. The easy way is always to quit, but when you quit, you don't get the harvest. The harvest is left out in the field. Friends, we can't do that. We got to get over that and keep working on. Galatians 6:9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So friends, we need to keep serving the Lord. The harvest is closer than you think. God is drawing people from all over the place. We know that. We've heard that with our own ears. It's time for us to start believing it and start getting in line with what God is wanting to do and get out there as well and to start talking to people about Christ and sharing with people about Christ. God is drawing people by His presence. Let's keep pressing in. Let's keep serving the Lord. Let's guard that presence. And friends, the Bible says as we serve Him only, blessings will come. Now, yes, you might be saying that, well, there's some promised blessings that haven't happened yet. And I realize that too. There's been some promises over my life that haven't happened yet. But I believe they're coming. And I believe that we're at that place that it's not going to be much more tearing anymore, but that it is indeed going to come. Just as that passage of Scripture on the wall behind you from Habakkuk says. But there'll be blessings like the ones that are mentioned in this text. Agricultural protection. That talks about, as well, provision. That if the crops are blessed and there's a provision, there's a multiplication, there's finances that are there for you. It goes on to talk about health. And it's kind of an interesting, I kind of read this, that's kind of a weird thing to say in the midst of this, but it says, talks about no more miscarriages or infertility, but long life is going to be your portion as you serve the Lord. So as we serve the Lord, all those things of life are going to be taken care of. I encourage you that, again, just come and spend time with the Lord. You don't need anybody even really to pray for you. Just come and kneel before Him, lay before Him, stand before Him, kneel, whatever way you want. But just come before the Lord and allow Him to touch you because He's wanting to bless you with things, just as we have said here. Blessings where God says, I will go before you. I will fight your battle. I will fight your enemies. He will put panic and bring terror on them, driving them out of our lives. But those blessings only happen if we serve the Lord. And friends, I realize that there's been some of you here in this place that the enemy has been coming against you almost at every step that you've taken. And it's been quite hard. But I want to tell you that redemption is coming along with those promised blessings. Those blessings will come forth. Don't give up. Keep serving the Lord. Keep Him as your priority. And you will experience the blessings. Keep serving Him. And not only will you receive the blessings, you'll also be guarding His presence as well. So this morning, I hope this message witnesses with your heart. Because God's presence is among us. And God is doing great things among us. and we must treasure it, and we must protect it. God is inviting us to come into His presence and to experience more of Him. There have been many people that have responded to that already. Many people that have been coming and seeking the Lord, seeking more of God. And I want to encourage you, if you're facing a problem, if you're in need of an answered prayer, if you're in need of a blessing in your life, or you're just simply wanting more of God, the answer is to come into His presence. And friends, I want to encourage you that you'd be so bold as to say to come into this sanctuary. God's doing something in this sanctuary. He really is. And as I've been praying myself personally and seeking the Lord, I keep getting that same answer. I don't know if I'm stupid or not, but He keeps telling me the same thing, like, get in there. Just keep going in there. And you know, to be honest with you, sometimes I just sense the presence of God just so amazing and powerful. But there are sometimes I come in and I don't sense anything. Don't feel anything. But I know I'm doing what God has called me to do. And friends, that's what's important. God looks at us that, I told you to do this, then do it. It's not about whether you feel me or whether you experience me. It's about doing what the will of God is telling you to do. So the answer to your weariness, the answer to your problem, the answer to your situation that you're facing is simply entering into His presence. Just come. Just come. Friends, I know that, you know, during office times, you know, the church is open. If you have a key, come at other times. Just come when the Spirit of God is drawing you and speaking to you. Tonight I'll be here from 6:30 to 7:30. That's not trying to put pressure on you to be here at the same time. I'm just telling you there's an opportunity if you want it. I'll be here. I'm just going to pray. We just put music on. We don't do anything else. We just pray. And you're welcome to come and join us and just to pray. But if you want to come at a different time, that's fantastic too. Wouldn't it be awesome that there'd be a 24/7 prayer time right here in this place? That this house of God would truly be a house of prayer and that people would start praying in this place 24/7. There is a vision, by the way, to establish a prayer center and a prayer house. Matter of fact, there's even a design that I could show you that a person has made to say, Pastor, I believe that this is going to happen, that there will be a house of prayer on this land. They've already drawn up a plan. Looks pretty good. If we would start coming, we can start it right here. We don't have to wait for another building. We can start it right here and just start coming to pray and respond to His presence. I believe that we're at a crossroads. And to reach that next level of the presence of God, I think God is really looking at us and saying, how bad do you really want it? I'm showing you, I'm giving you glimpses of what that presence will do. Do we want more of that? Or are we just kind of saying, not that big of a deal? God's trying to show us something. He's got more. He's got more. Why do you think that little baby was smiling and laughing? I think God has something far bigger for us. He's getting excited that He's going to pour it out soon. But He's looking for us like, are these people going to enter in? Are they going to welcome it? Are they going to receive it? God is moving by His presence in this place. We need to guard it. We need to protect it. We need to press it in for it. And friends, that takes all of us. That's not just about me as a pastor that I press in. It's important that I do. I'm the leader. The leader needs to do that. But this is together. We all need to do this. God is calling all of us because God is wanting to do something far bigger, far greater than what we've all imagined or ever thought. When we came out to Alberta, you've heard me maybe say this many times, as we came on the grounds of Alberta, our first night in Alberta, the next morning, we're in a church service. That church service was those words spoken over us that we would see things far greater than what we could ever think or ever imagine. And that's kind of been a theme in my head, my whole ministry here in this church. God is something far greater, far bigger than what I can think. And I have a great imagination. I keep telling God that. I said, God, you know something? I have a great imagination, so that's a pretty big thing. that, God, you're going to do things greater than what I can think or imagine. But I'm seeing the glimpses of it already. I see things that are happening to people and what people are experiencing. I know it's on its way. Friends, let's guard the presence. Guard the presence. And as we close here this morning, the musicians come back to the instruments. We have a big bean and chili cook-off going on. I want to ask you that give some time for the kids to get out. And if we could have some men that would then go in and set up some tables and chairs, and then we can go in there. So just give a little bit of time for that to be kind of settled. You can kind of worship here right now and just take a few moments. Everyone is welcome to join us and just have some fun together, and then you can go home and have other fun, I guess, after all those beans and chili. But anyway, that can be a bit later. Encourage you, friends, just to seek the Lord. I'm not asking you to stand here today to come up front, to make a commitment, or that's something that needs to be made. You need to make yourself. You just need to do that yourself. And you need to just make some time to pray. And if you do live far away, maybe just make extra times to pray where you are. One of the things I've been trying to do is that, God, I'm going to inconvenience myself and come and pray. So that when actually I'm busy and I have lots of stuff to do, that I'm going to stop and say, Lord, I'm going to choose to do something else. And I'm going to pray instead. And I think that's what God's looking for. Not just our regular prayer times that we do, but things on top of our regular prayer times that we do, that we would inconvenience ourselves and say, you know what? I'm just going to come and pray anyway. It's inconvenient. I'm tired, but I'm going to come. Sometimes my wife and I will come sometimes late in the evening. Sometimes we'll come around 7 or 8 o'clock. It just kind of depends. I know some other people in our church are coming very early in the morning. They're here before any staff members here, and they're praying. They're seeking the Lord. I know others are coming also late at night. I think we even had a few people through the middle of the night. And people are praying for you. I had an interesting, not a conversation, but a message. A person had messaged me and said, Pastor, I was praying for you. They don't go to our church. They don't even, aren't even in the same province. I was praying for you. Matter of fact, I was praying for you last night because I couldn't sleep all night, but I was praying for you. And so I messaged them back. I said, well, thank you very much. I had the best sleep I've had in about a year. I said, there's been a lot of things going on where I've not been resting or sleeping. And I had the best rest, I would say, in at least a year. But I slept so well. But you know what? The result of that was that someone else had to lose their rest to pray, to intercede for somebody else. Inconvenience yourself to do something for God because it may have such a huge impact on somebody else. That's from a totally different province, different time zone. But they were praying for me. I felt very blessed. I had a fantastic sleep that night. I really did. Not so great last night, but the night before was really, really good when they prayed. So thank God. But that's what it can do. Your prayers can make changes like that. You might look at that and we complain a lot if God wakes us up in the middle of the night and we're trying to, you know, maybe God's trying to say, I want you to pray. I want you to come and begin just to seek me. I wonder if he would start responding to that, what more we would see. I think that's God's challenge to us. As you respond to him, there'll be more that you will see. And friends, I want to encourage you too, like if you're going through a difficulty, if there's an illness, a sickness, disease, a bad report that you've got from a doctor, or you know, things that are very pressing on you, I really encourage you to come throughout the week, whatever time, and just come. The front's really good, just to let you know, it really is. So is the stage. Pretty good up there too. But just come. Just spill it out before God and just tell him all the things that you're going through, and just you and God, just talk to him. Just spend time with him. I guarantee you're going to see a result. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Let us stand together as we close in this song. Father God, I thank you for the presence of God. Lord, I thank you for a worship team that, Lord, knows how to flow in the presence of God. I thank you, Lord, that you have brought them to this place. And that, Lord, that they're willing and they're wanting more of you. And so, Lord, we would want to pray as a congregation for our worship team that, Lord, since they're the ones that are often playing for us and trying to encourage us to enter in, that, Lord, there would be a new and a fresh anointing that would come upon them. That, Lord, there'd be a greater empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon them. That, Lord, the presence of God would come down as soon as they start to play. That, Lord, you begin to move through them and touch them and mightily move, God, through their lives. That, Lord, it would touch us and encourage us. That we would respond and we would start worshiping you. And, Lord, we would start longing for the presence and sensing the presence and feeling the presence. Because, Lord, I know you're drawing every one of us here. Every one of us is important. God, you're wanting to use every one of us here in this place. God, as we come and we come to the close of this service here today, God, I believe I can declare on behalf of this congregation that they agree with me that we want more the presence of God. God, we want more. Forgive us, Lord, when we're caught up with other things or we're distracted by other things. God, help us to remain strong. I pray for a fresh impartation of strength today. I pray for a fresh impartation that, Lord, will break weariness in the name of Jesus. I pray for a new enthusiasm that will begin to flow through this place, and flow through your people. I pray that, Lord, there would be a new vitamin that, Lord, would rise up inside of us that would give us the strength that we need. That vitamin is you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you today, Lord. We thank you today, Lord. We give you glory today. God, we want more of your presence, not just in our church, but in our lives. We want more of the presence, Lord, that goes out into the highways and the byways, and that compels people to come to Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would use us, that, Lord, we would open up our mouths and we would start to share with people more about what God is doing, because, Lord, I know that you have divine setups up there, that you've been already drawing them, and, Lord, you're just waiting for us to talk. Your presence begin to settle have to go. You're dismissed after that. If you do want prayer, we'll definitely pray with you here today. If you just want to come and just sit, stand, kneel, maybe just sit in a seat closer to the front. If you want to do that, you're welcome to do that. I don't think it's really about this morning. It's really about that we start making that our lifestyle. That we just start doing that and calling out to God and spending time with God and make this a 24/7 house of prayer and a house of blessing. So we invite you to do that. Please stay with us. We'd love to have you for the... Remember, there's some beans, there's chili, even some soup. So surely one of those things should work. And enjoy some fellowship. But if you do have to go, bless you. Great having you in the house of God today. We love you. Bless you. May the presence of God begin to permeate all over this place. In Jesus' name.